Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So once again, for those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what time it is. It's Friday night, Heart to Heart, with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Me and Brother Nate joining in on this broadcast, and I thank God for you all. And as we await till the brother come on, I just want to take the opportunity and time to thank God for all you that have been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, because our job or commission was given to us of Jesus Christ to give you the gospel. Amen. And I am humbled that God has blessed me as well as others to deliver this word unto those of you that are listening, to deliver his word of light to those who are in darkness, his word of healing to those who are sick and wounded. I thank God this day, and I know that greater things lie ahead. That includes the blessing and things that will be testing is lying ahead. But I know that if I hold on to the author and finisher of my faith, that I will make it through. And so this same word goes to those of you who are listening. If you will hold on to Jesus, who is the, and if you're being born again, hold on to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, you will come through this. I know that it seems a little bit tough now. I know it seems at many times very pressing. And I know that there's sometimes you ask, Lord, where are you? Where are you at? What are you doing? You know. And I understand that because I've asked that question many times. But I thank God for his spirit. You know, that's another reason why he has put his spirit within our spirit, is that it gives us that assurance that God is with us. And I am very grateful to that and very thankful, you know. And we're living in the days of miracles, but we're also living in the days of deception. And I want to direct you unto the Lord and to say unto you, get closer to God, because we are living in a deceiving time where people are, quote, using the name of God, but they're not for real. And, you know, Jesus said you should know them by their fruits. Jesus did not tell us to be a bunch of naive people believing anything and everything that people say. You know, and I think as Christians, we just, when it came to that scripture, we turned the page real hard and went by it. And we failed to understand that Jesus told us to try things, prove all things. That's what he said, prove all things, okay? And so that's what we need to do. But some of us is just, you know, we're just taking everything and believing anything because people said Jesus, you know. And just because they say Jesus doesn't necessarily mean they have accepted the Lord. Amen. So I wanted to say that right there. Now I'm going to patch my brother on. God bless you, brother. How is your faith?
Well, it's being tested, tried, and proven. This is a day of great testing of the faith, which we are grounded and settled, founded, whether it be founded upon the rock. Everything Jesus Christ, our Lord, set upon this rock. So we are grounded and settled upon the rock of testimony and the resurrection of our Lord. It's testing time. Thank God I'm still standing by the grace of God and the strength of our Lord. So I'm grateful. And there's much to be rejoicing about. And I think that every day there's a victory the Lord has given and is giving round about all over the earth. And we celebrate the great victories we hear around the earth in many nations, that Jesus is doing a great and marvelous work and a tremendous restoration, revival, awakening around the earth. So we rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so we got a lot to be glad about. Listening to the good news, the good report. Of course, we can, you know, bend our ear just to hear just a bad or terrible or evil report of coming in the earth. But let's tune our ears to heaven and hear the good reports of the Lord around the earth and rejoice in that. So, hallelujah. I was just thinking about in recognition to our Lord today in his death, burial, and resurrection, and his blood covenant and his soon coming, the perspective of God's prophets spoken about this day in many ways, and how that Zion would rise from a desolation and they will rise with great victory in the hour that's upon us when Satan is testing and proving everything. Yeah, so there's a lot to be rejoicing in and to be glad about. And so I find to tune in on Heaven's Report, you'll get a lot of joy and a lot of rejoicing. And you can clap your hands and lift your hands and dance and be exceedingly glad. Yep. So, yeah, man. I think a lot of the saints, or even people outside in the world, are seeing the downfall of all nations crumbling, and they're kind of taking focus on that. But I think we need to get our eyes upon the Lamb and see what he's doing and see what the Holy Spirit is doing around the earth. And I'm hearing of great and wondrous things in China and South America, Central America, Guatemala, where the Lord is moving. In Africa, great, great, marvelous things. Day of visitation and outpourings and mighty works and wonders are done. And hundreds and thousands of people are coming to Christ. And mighty works. Reports of people being raised from the dead. And quite a few, it's getting bigger and bigger where people are being raised from the dead. Not so much in America, but very little in America, but where those people that are hungry for God and desperate for Jesus and been seeking and desiring, he is visiting them. He is really visiting them. And the latter rain is coming to them. And the different places, we don't hear this report from the normal broadcasting news. We won't be hearing it that way. So if you're looking for it in a newspaper, a normal newspaper, a broadcast, you won't be hearing this kind of report. You know.
Wow.
No, they're not going to be broadcasting on this broadcast line. Heaven's Report. So, but stay tuned to Heaven. By the way, most people may not know, we being a part of the Church of Christ with Elijah Message, that we're having an angel report, angelic. I know we hear about most demonic activity all over the earth because Satan knows his time is short in Revelation 12 And he knows his time is very short, and so he's doing all that he can. But what is happening is sometimes when Satan is doing all he can, it's not enough, because Jesus is going to do more than enough to counteract all that he's doing. And so that's the good news. Hallelujah. In Revelation 22, chapter 22, the last writing of invitation of the beloved John received the end time report. The end time, he spreads this news, a broadcast about the end, what we call the end of the age. And he says something in the last writing, or what we call the last chapter, in the bridge version of the Bible. In the last chapter, Jesus spoke these words at the end of this last chapter, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his works shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. Jesus has sent mine angel. Now this is the last report of the Bible, by him sending, he testifying all through John by his angel, and he's sending this last report by angel. So it's not a strange thing that at the end of the book, Jesus said, he's talking to and visiting John himself, but then he's mostly, we see, he said, I sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. Now he says something very pivotal. For I testify, chapter 22, Revelation, verse 18, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. This is what he said, the prophecy of this book, John's Revelation. If any man shall add to these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Now, when he said anything add to the prophecy of this book, he's talking primarily about John's Revelation. But it generally can apply to all scripture. But in particular, he's talking about John's visions and revelation of the end time. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. Now, people usually stop there. They don't read the second part. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. Wow. He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Jesus. Now, the taking away from the prophecy of this book, you know, when he sent his angel and he said, I testify to the churches. Now he's sending an angel to testify to the churches now in the last days. In Revelation 14 and 6, and we see an angel coming with the everlasting gospel.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make people understand this very clearly. I didn't make this up. It's not my sayings. This is written in the book. if you want to take away from this prophecy and not believe it and not accept it, that's, you know, that's kind of up to you. But John gave a warning, and Jesus gave a warning at the end of the book, don't take away from the words of this book. If any man take away, the word take away means ignore it, reject it, or give it no consequences, or cast it away. But the prophecy said, if you take away or try to take away from any words of this book of this prophecy, and we turn over to a prophecy in Revelation 14 and 6 and Revelation 18, 1, it talks about an angel coming with the everlasting gospel. Wait a minute now. This is prophecy of the book. So don't try to take away, beloved, wherever you are, thinking that all things are fulfilled. Because I hear people preaching, everything fulfilled, Jesus can come. Well, no, let's not jump the gun. All things are not fulfilled, and Jesus can't come, and he won't come until things are fulfilled concerning his second coming. And one of the things that people miss is that he cannot come, he will not come unto the words spoken in the prophecy of the book concerning preparing a people for his coming. And he sends an angel with the everlasting gospel. Oh, he can't do that. No, he can't do that because you think that because you have been preaching what you think in the Bible, that God can restore the pure, unadulterated fullness of the gospel and its purity. If you try to say and tell God that he don't know his business, his plan, when he says in Revelation 14 and 6, Revelation 18 and 1, an angel came and the light did he bring light in the earth. Well, why is this happening? Why would God need to send an angel? I know everything. I got a spirit of prophecy and a spirit of this and spirit of teaching, so he don't need to send nobody, Brother Nate. We're just going to take that out of the book. We don't need that, brother. We got it. We got it all down pat, and we have the Holy Spirit. I'm not denying that you don't have the Spirit. I'm not denying that you might not be redeemed, but do you have perfect understanding? Do you have complete understanding of all prophecy? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. No, you don't have perfect understanding of all things. Humble yourself. Revelation 14 and 6, 18 and 1 talks about an angel message restoring what? The gospel of Christ. Okay. At the last part of this revelation, he speaks in verse 16, 22, Revelation, IG has sent my angel. Well, we don't need no angel, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just cut all this stuff out of the book. We don't need no Elijah coming in Malachi. We don't need all that stuff. We're ready for the rapture. We're all straight. We're ready. All things are fulfilled. All things are complete. The next step is the rapture, brother Nate.
Right.
We're all straight, all of the church world. But then Jesus said something. An angel come to restore the everlasting gospel. And he called it Malachi 4, before that dreadful day Elijah coming. Now, what's he coming for? We got everything under control. We got the Bible, the book. We know everything. We ready. Our oil is burning and bright. So let's cut this part out of the Bible. We don't need it. Then Jesus said in Matthew 24, 12, 14, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Well, what is the distinction between what they've been preaching for the last 1,800 years and what Jesus is talking about when he says this gospel of the kingdom shall first be preached? We've been preaching. No, he said at a particular hour, at the 12th hour, a cry is made. A particular hour, Brother Nate, at the 12th hour, at midnight, a cry is made. Matthew said, well, we don't need to hear all that, brother. Okay, we can take away from that, too. We can take that out of the way, too. We don't need all that.
Yeah.
Okay? We're just going to take away all this stuff. We're just ready for the rapture.
Yeah.
Would you be shocked, beloved? No offense, man, but the truth must prevail. There is no going to be a rapture Oh, there you go with all that.
What? Well, oh, my goodness. What?
Wait a minute now. Hold on, bro. We've been taught the rapture, and we're going to escape all of this. Well, it's 2019. You ain't escaped yet. And it's heating up. And we're at the edge of tribulation right now. And you're supposed to be gone by 1984. Then they said 88, then 98, then 2000. Would y'all kind of get it kind of straight? So when y'all going to rapture out? Because we've been told and preached that we're going up before the great tribulation, the mark of the beast, and the great sorrow hit the earth. Yep, that's okay if you want to believe that, if that's what you choose to believe. And I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to declare what I know. And the last message is the angel says, listen, forget about the rapture. That ain't going to be your deliverance. All right, then. I thought I'd bring that in there, Brother Nate. Kind of shoot it up. And so they can jump on your case.
Yeah. Well, you know what, brother? You know, I consider just extremely, I'm humbled to be able to claim this work of the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes, brother, when you look at the work, you don't see it like you need to see it. But there are sometimes you go through particular things where God begin to open your eyes even more to the importance of it. I see the greater importance of this work in these last days. I see many of the churches, the standards, just been kicked out the window. You know, I see it.
Yeah. Indeed. And I was thinking how the Lord have a plan, his sovereign plan, but he follows a pattern from the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. He follows this plan, this purpose plan. He has a pattern, unchangeable plan that he works. I noticed how he took I was reading the morning how he took the angel and he said, I'm going to send the angel before you to deliver Israel and he's going to guide you into the promised land. And at the end of the book, he says, Jesus, before he comes, I send my angel to testify these things to the churches. Now, when this angel message come today as the end time message testifying to the churches, to the world, and to Israel, will they hear? Well, they didn't hear back that too good. They didn't hear it in Noah's day. They didn't hear it in Moses' day and Abraham too good and in David's day. And when Jesus first came up on the earth, they definitely rejected and didn't hear it in. Hallelujah, too well. Now at the end time, when Jesus is about to return the second time, some are not going to hear it in, but there are many, many, many more are going to come by the thousands and thousands. But before that happens, the nations are falling and crumbling, and before they humble themselves. Okay. I thought I'd throw that in as a little dessert. If anyone want to call in, this is Handmaid's Night. Brother Nathaniel Hunt's been declaring this thing for over a couple of years and declaring and teaching and preaching and telling it the story of Christ and his second coming and the preparing of a people, a nation, that Elijah the prophet bringing the everlasting gospel restored again to refine, to purify, and make ready a people, to awaken Israel, to gather the Israel, and the Jews might know that the Messiah is on his way. Get ready. All right. Handmaiden nights all around the world. So we will take all questions that are valid, authentic, real, genuine questions. If you call in with some superficial, don't do that. If you want to play with the things of God or play with the substance of God, I wouldn't charge you not to do that because you got a lot of unwise people who are very foolish and infidels and silly who will come in and make light of the things of God and bring a curse on themselves. So I would pray that you would not do that. Be honest and sincere. We will receive you. It's okay if you disagree with us. That's okay. Just be honest and sincere and real and have a valid reason and scriptural reason. By the way, in this last book we call Revelation of the Beloved John, in the last chapter, and this is a abridged version of the Bible, John sees these things and said, these are the things that are coming. And now we're in the end time, and Jesus made this last statement in chapter 22. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Brother, why would he want to say that? We have Hindu, we have Brahman, we have Confucius, we have Muhammad, we have Christian Science, we have Jehovah's Witness, you just name it. We got Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, everybody claiming, you know. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly with my reward, and I will give to every man according to his work shall be. And he says a lot of things. Blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates of the city. The thing is, enter into the gates of the city, brother, to that golden city. Wow. But he said, outside are sorcerers. And, you know, sorcery includes drugs. The word sorcery includes drugs. And so you see a outbreak of what we call the drug epidemic in the world today. So Satan is ushering in this. It's part of witchcraft and sorcery. Sorcery is part dealing with drugs, illegal, destructive drugs. And right now, you know what I say, it's just an open door for a drug. It is a form of witchcraft and sorcery and whoremongering, because that includes adultery, fornication, trisexual, bisexual, homosexual, murderers is not just, you see, violence is filling the earth in all nations, but murder also include hatred, having hate in your heart towards somebody. Said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. So if you got hate in the heart against anyone, been a hater, you're considered a murderer. So you want to get rid of that quick and come to Jesus and get a new heart. So if you got any kind of hatred, bitterness towards any soul, any person, whether you feel justified or not, you can't enter the gates of the city of the New Jerusalem. Won't be. If you got any racial bitterness, hate, or political or cultural hatred or whatever, or somebody hurt you or wounded you or did evil to you in the past, you got to come to Jesus and get that out, get that clean, get that straightened out, get washed away, because you can't enter. You will not be able to enter the gates of the golden, the new city of Jerusalem. You will not be able to enter there. So I'm just telling you, this is what the word said. He said, murderers and idolaters and whosoever maketh a lie. Now, whoever maketh a lie and tell you that this book is not true and that this gospel is not true is a false religion. And they're making a lie through religions or politics. If they're lying to you that the gospel of Jesus is not the power of God or the salvation, they tell you that any other thing is the way, they are making a lie. I don't care what religion are. I don't care if they got a billion people. For instance, the two largest religions in the world. Do you know who the two largest religious following in the world, brother? Are you aware of the three largest, most powerful, richest religions in the world today?
Catholicism, Islam, and Mormonism.
And what?
Mormonism, Catholicism, Islam, and Mormonism.
Yeah, this is whoever maketh a lie and tell you that these lying spirits, religious deceiving spirits, are in the earth, and Satan is established in the 17th chapter of Revelation, 13th chapter of Revelation, a false replacement in the 6th century called the Roman Catholicism, the Greek Catholicism, through Constantine. And it's called Babylon, spiritual Babylon. And everything that makes a lie, deception, that rejects the pillars of truth of the gospel. And that includes Roman Catholic and Roman dollars and Greek, which in there, they're now one, and which is about 1 billion people, and the most powerful rich. And then there's the other, Islam, one of the most aggressive and most violent and murderous and hate-filled religion. There's some good people in there, wonderful people in all these religions, good people, and good people in all of these things. They're just under a cloud of darkness and deception because they were born in that culture, raised in that culture, many of them. And Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox and the, what do you call it, the Islam terrorist radical is a destructive force of evil that Satan is using. They're good, wonderful people, millions of people caught up in this stuff, and loving people just bound and deceived. And God's going to send a restoration, deliverance for giving them a chance to come out of Babylon. Then the next one is Mormonism. Have over eight, didn't we? The next one is Jehovah's Witness. Those are the four greatest known religions, most powerful religions in the world. Are they making a lie? Are they making a lie, brother? Or are they the true thing? Are they the true picture of the gospel of Christ, the kingdom of God? Are they these four people we named? Then we got Hindu, Brahmo, Confucianism, and then we got socialism, Nazism, and then we got Satanism. This will come under idolatry and sorcery. So are these religions the true faith and the true foundation of redemption that we name? Are they the true?
We got to be real about it. No, they're not. I mean, you know, some people call you, say, well, you're braggadocious. I said, well, I'm speaking what Jesus said. So, no, they most definitely is not.
Oh, well, you're going to get a lot of hoop and raw behind that, brother. You know, that's be a, it make you a kind of fanatic and a cynic and a harsh, vindictive, closed-minded, and all that, you know, if you say that. Now, I want to understand something, that we don't hate people, and we love all people, and we have the love of God, but we do not love the lies, the false, deceptive bondages that Satan has wrought in the earth over these last 2,000 or 6,000 years. And we must expose the deception and lies, for Satan has come to deceive all flesh, Revelation 12. So we must expose it. Well, what give you the right? Because we have a charge and a command. If we do not obey the command to warn you, then we're not going to enter the gate. So I'm not worried about so much what you say. I'm worried about pleasing God so I can enter the gates of the golden city. Because whosoever maketh a lie, over in Revelation, he said, he that obey my commands, our command is to preach this gospel and this warning message. And if we don't, we're afraid to do it. He said, those that are fearful will not enter the city. So we're afraid to obey God, and we're afraid of what man going to say. He said, we won't enter the city. So we got to find out who we're going to fear God or fear man. So we got to make our mind about that. I mean, we got to give respect and due regard to those that do respect and honor, but we got to fear God. Because we got to fear God so to obey his command, says, warn, awaken, prophesy, speak. Now, all of these things are in the millions of people that are affected and worldwide. Indonesia is the largest Islam nation in the world, and that was Jesus said a mighty spiritual revival in the 1960s, a great move of the Holy Ghost in 1960s to the largest place, which is Indonesia, of Islam and Muslim. And Jesus sent a Holy Ghost revival in the late 60s, and he's still moving there mightily. He loves those people, and he loves Hindus, but he loves all flesh. That's why Jesus died. Now, do you not know that if you were to declare what the prophets did in Jeremiah and Isaiah and Hosea and Amos, that today if you preach and will prophesy and speak to them, they would hate you the same way they hated them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
If they had a jail, they'll put you in a hole in the future. They are going to.
Oh, yeah. That's common. That's common.
In the future, that persecution is going to come to this free nation called America and around the world against Christians, Bible-believing Christians. Now, do you know in Congress, we got a lot of people in high places who are against the gospel and the Bible. You know that?
Right.
They may be religious, but they're against the Bible and the gospel. See, that's the difference between being religious and being redeemed. See, most people think being religious is all you have to be. But Jesus didn't come to make you religious. He came to redeem you from the curse of sin and death and make you a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. See, people get confused. Well, I'm religious. I said, but dear beloved, Jesus didn't come to make you religious. He came to give you life, and you may have it life abundant. How do you get there? He that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God do not have life. Well, I think I'm good enough. I said, well, you don't have any goodness. You have sin. You are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You need the righteousness or the life of Christ and the blood of Jesus to cover and take away your sin. Oh, we don't need all that. I think I'm all right. Well, okay. If that's what you want to go by, I think. Okay. Now, for example, when we mention these things, brother, there are millions of people who are blind. I was once blind. I was once in darkness, captured by the enemy and by our sinful nature. But do you know that part of our job as ministers of Christ is to warn and to awaken and not to fear Satan or man? But as Revelation 22 says, it's amazing how we have gotten away from the word of God and the truth of God, and we are scared. And all we're worried about is number, wealth, and the prosperity. It's amazing. You think that's amazing?
Oh, yeah, and especially in this day and time. But, you know, I thank God for, you know, brother, the Lord, he gives us revelation on a timely basis. And I have to say, I am seeing more and more and more of the place of this work. And I thank God for it. It has done nothing but increase my faith.
Yes. Now, you beloved people out there, we have the love of Christ. And love, we don't have the type of love, we don't have the type of love that the world or people want to see displayed. We have the love of Christ that come to warn you that your soul is jeopardy and God wants you to live in eternity with Christ in the new city, the golden city in the new Jerusalem, have eternal life. We cannot spare, but the Bible said, spare not, show my people their sins and house of Jacob their transgression. We have to warn you like John the Baptist did, like Jeremiah did, like Jesus did. If we fail to do that, your blood will be on our hands. In the third chapter and the sixth chapter of Ezekiel or Jeremiah 18, if we fail to warn you, to awaken you, to tell you about the love of Christ and redemption, that you could miss God and you can wind up in hell, eternity, if we fail to do that, we do not have the God's kind of love to care about you or eternity. That's the God's kind of love. Not the love, I don't want to hurt your feelings because you might be mad at me. But God's going to be mad at me if I don't tell you.
Right.
So I'd rather have you mad than God mad at me. So I got to make a choice. Every time we got to make this choice. I got to love you enough to tell you, escape the damnation of hell, Jesus said, and get heaven. Make that your eternal home. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm nobody but a servant. I'm commissioned. Well, read your Bible, beloved. Jeremiah, Isaiah, just go through the Bible. They killed all these people. The apostles, they killed these people. Do you understand this? Why are they they murdered and killed these people? They killed the apostles. They killed the prophets. Most of them were killed. Why were they killed? Put in prison, flagged, burned, thrown in lines. Why were they? Why? What did they say or do that caused the holy prophets? John the Baptist got his head cut off. Is that right, brother? He got his head chopped off.
Amen.
Jesus got lifted on the cross by his own nation, Jews and Romans. Do you know they hate it and despise it? People, wake up. We're not your enemy. We're your friend. We love you. We have a commandment and commission. You may get offended, but many people are going to be glad and rejoice. I want to read the first epistle of John. Brother, I'm going to show you how serious this is. That we have the light of Christ in the gospel, and we have to enlighten the world. And by the way, I want everybody to know, do you know that Brother Nate and I are not getting any money being paid?
Amen.
Because a lot of people think, brother, we might be getting some big salary or some money.
Right.
You know, they figure we on there, we're getting big pay. We're not getting paid. I worked a job for over 35 years, brother. And Brother Nate, you're still working. For take care of yourself and family. You're not getting no salary or money from no religious. Are you getting a big some salary, some church or somebody paying you, brother, to preach this gospel?
No, sir, that's a negative.
Brother, I used to work 10 hours. I worked honest for my family, my living, no salary. I'm not against people who are full-time ministry. The labor is worthy of its hire. Full-time dedication, giving yourself to the gospel and the kingdom, you know, like the Bible said. But people think that we're getting some kind of money or some revenue for this.
Yeah.
Do you notice that on this broadcast, we don't ask nobody for any money or beg anybody or have any kind of special thing, send me $100 or $200 or $300? Brother, we do not do that. Jesus did not do that. The apostles did not do that in the early church.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, it takes money in this earth. Of course it does. But the Lord has a way without any kind of scam. A con games, a manipulation. Tell you the truth, you don't like it. I still got to tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not no popularity contest. Amen. We're not trying to win no popularity. We're trying to win souls for Christ, to the kingdom, to convince people to awake. Christ is your redeemer, the blood, atones the redemption. Jew, Gentile, bond and free, Islam, Christian Science, Jehovah, whoever, Mormons, all of them people. Wow. Hindus. Okay, I want to read this first epistle of John. First epistle of John, right over there near Revelation. And chapter 2. Now, this is something that if you want to get mad at the scripture, okay, you'll just have to do that because a lot of people are mad at the Bible, even in Congress and high places and benefit. When you talk about the Bible up in Congress and talk about what the Bible said this and Jesus said this and God said, man, those people that have been put there by Satan, and by man, they get so upset when they start saying we got to have a biblical standard, a godly standard, and our Constitution has a godly standard. The Bill of Rights come from a godly pillar of truth. Men, they took this from the Bible. Men and people in the Congress now and the Senate, they're getting so upset. Well, I know why they're getting upset.
Yeah.
I want you to read this in 1 John.
1 John
chapter 2. But I just ran see something here. Verse 15. We're going to go all the way from verse 15 to verse 23. 15 to 23. I want everyone in the whole world to listen closely to this. In every nation under the earth. This is written in the book called the Bible. The abridged version of the Bible. God's word to man. Written word to all nations. I want you to read, and I want you, the Holy Spirit, ask that the Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, would pierce the darkness and your traditions and your cultural belief and your personal belief and convict you and reveal and enlighten to your heart today and anoint you to hear these words, to have a breakthrough, and the seal of darkness be moved from you, the veil of darkness. A breakthrough. Let's agree, a breakthrough, brother, around the world, and a conviction and an enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. Whatever God wants to enlighten you with, sending angels, sending visions and dreams, sending the prophets, sending awakening, sending storms, sending earthquakes to try to awaken people. Beginning at verse, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15, brother, you want to start there. Because it's very important. Verse 15.
The word of God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away.
Did we get those first two verses? Brother Nate didn't write that. I didn't write that. Your church or religion or the author or whatever you believe in, political situation, this is the word of life that the prophet John, the apostle, beloved John, who walked with Jesus, who walked, was taught by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he gave this truth. And he says, love not the world, the ungodly system of this life, ruled by men and Satan. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, this ungodly system and way, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, this ungodly, satanic, fleshly world, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. Go ahead, verse 17, brother.
And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
Verse 24.
Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father.
Now, the first two verses is very important. All of it is important. Verse 25 and 26.
And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you.
Okay. What do you think about those? Why we need to have, make that be a very, very important declaration today in the generation and the times that we live in. Why do you think this, what we just read, is so necessary to discern, to draw the line, so people will not be deceived?
Well, I think that it's very much important to understand who is the main focus is Christ, and that it is talking about not denying him, and seeing in this time that he is being denied even the more, especially in they're not wanting you to preach Christ, or, you know, as you know, they've been looking at the army chaplains. They don't even want them to say Jesus' name at the funeral, you know. And I think that in this, it is very important to know through this what is of God and what is not of God.
And all Christians who Bible-believing Christians, gospel-believing Christians, because, you know, you got right now people are backing up and compromising, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cut, it's like taking a scissors and cutting out certain things out of the Bible. Well, we don't believe that. We don't believe in holiness and pureness and righteousness and sanctification, and being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, prophesied visions, angel visitation, God speaking to. We don't believe in all that stuff. That's dispensationalist. We don't believe that stuff. We believe that as long as you're a good person, a nice person, and you're religious, you'll get to heaven. Well, I want to clear up something about that you're going to get to heaven on your goodness. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter the same at the 5th chapter. And we're going to clear up who has the right to enter to the golden city and inherit life.
You said John 5th chapter?
Yes, first epistle.
Okay.
Go to the 5th chapter.
Okay. By the way, we have Sister Anderson on. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed. All right. I'm blessed, brother. Bless you.
All right, good to have our sister. After we read this, we'll get back to you right quick. Now,
okay.
I want to establish a pillar of truth, unchanging truth about the gospel. Because in the last days, Jesus said many, many, Matthew 20, many, many, and he's just not talking about sinners are already deceived in sin. But mostly he's talking about, in Matthew 20, he's talking about the church world, the Christian world, and they were many going to be deceived because primarily sinners are already condemned in darkness and blind, and they're already in the deception of sin. But he's mostly warning in the last days, Matthew 20, many deceivers are liars of false teaching and prophets contrary to the gospel and the teachings of Christ and the apostles would be the typical point of between life and death. You have to discern pillar ground and truth in the gospel, the rock, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of God. Now, I want you to read four important things because this applies to Jew, Gentile, Protestant, Catholic, bond, free, rich, or poor. Now, this truth, Jesus said, Alpha and Omega, and I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, and he's not going to change anything from beginning to end. So you can forget about it. Now, I want you to read something here. And I'm not going to be able to read all of it, but I want you to read two important pillars of truth. Beginning at verse 9 to 15. And I want you to underline this important truth, how Satan is going to deceive people. One of the ways he's deceiving people in high places and low places and church places and around the world. And why Christians are being seduced by Babylon and the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist spirit is already in this world. The Antichrist is going to set himself up the last great Antichrist, but but the spirit of the Antichrist is already working mightily in this earth now. Not only in John's day, when he said it was working then through the Roman Empire and through heretics who was trying to distort the gospel just before they went off the scene. But I want you to read this, and this may seem simplicity, but I'm going to tell you how Satan is deceiving the world right now, and they're looking for some great. He's already deceiving the world, millions right now, have their own personal concepts and traditions about religion. Well, I'm just as good as you. I can get there that my way, and it's all religion is good, and everything, everybody's of God, and God is in everybody, and oh, you got to be nice, and you'll make it to heaven. And you got all precepts and teaching. Well, just go and be baptized. And a lot of people just think, oh, you got to do is just go get some water put on you, baptized, and that settles it. And that's the, you know, or join the shake the preacher's hand, or get in the choir, or just be nice and good and treat your neighbor nice, and you're going to inherit eternal life. All that sounds pretty good, but it's all a lie. No, Brother Lee is going to. This is not believed. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. All that is deception. That's man-made opinions. Now, I want you to read the first epistle of John, and I want you to comprehend what John, the beloved apostle, left on record. He that has ear, let him hear. For thus saith the Lord. Beginning at verse 9, all the way, we're not going to read all of it, all the way to verse 9, to verse 14. And I want you to underline something that's going to keep you from being deceived and being seduced and tricked in these last days by religiosity. Beginning is First Epistle of John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 9.
The Word of God said, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. But this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him."
Now, okay, I had to read that out and throw that out there to the whole world, to divide between the goats and the sheep and the has and has not, and all religious and all people who are searching and seeking and thirsting after the true and the living God. All right, Sister Allison, our dear sister.
Amen.
And our brother Allison there, sitting and standing in the cut. And since Sister Allison is the spokesman, and go ahead, sister. Glad to have you. Go ahead, and you can. This is Handmaid's Night, so hallelujah.
Oh,
and
continue on with the word. I dialed in because I couldn't get you guys. You know, I couldn't hear you, so I just called
yeah.
in.
Yeah, because Brother Manny just texted me, and I know he was saying he couldn't hear me. I don't know if he couldn't hear Brother Lee, but I know he said he couldn't hear me. And I know that they have put a message here up on the screen, and they've been having it up here, I know, all week. And they said they have been having problems, but they said we can connect to the host line with Direct Connect or by phone. But apparently there's still some problems going on. I'm glad Brother Manny, he just texted me a minute ago, and you know, and alert me to it, because I know when my wife was listening the night before last night, she couldn't hear me. She told me she couldn't hear me, but when you play it back, you can hear me. So, you know, I you know, we know two things. We know the devil and we know the airwaves. So I want us to really knock a hole in his knees and really kind of give him a bigger headache. You know, that's what I want to do to him. Because this gospel is going to go forth. Amen.
Amen.
Satan, you and your spirits of interference.
In the name of Jesus.
Over the airwaves.
Right
yes.
now in Jesus' name.
Yes,
we take divine authority over the airwaves and dominion.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We are children of the kingdom of God. We are seated in Christ in heavenly places. High above, principality, throne, and water, angelic root, we command you.
Command you right now.
Jesus.
We charge you.
Amen.
Stop interfering.
In the name
Stop
of
interfering.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, we ask you to release your warring angels with the sword.
Just Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And if this is demonic interference, if this is demonic hindrance, let the sword of the Lord pierce them. If this is normal occurrences, let it be fixed in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And we prevail.
Yes,
and we thank you for it.
No, let me
thank you
right now. We thank you,
for Sister Helen Bruce and the victory and victory and victory and victory. We declare the victory, the victory. And we attack the adversary, and we hold our place in Christ. Amen. Okay, yeah, I noticed interference. I don't know, was it a changeover with the updating of stuff? I don't know, on the airwaves. It could be that, but I kind of halfway believe it's Satan and the demons up there running around.
I believe, too, because when you was praying, brother, I sensed the Spirit of the Lord as you was praying, binding the demonic spirits in the name of Jesus. Because we're talking about a couple things on these airways as of late. We're talking about the work of the Elijah, and we're talking about the Masonic order. And if there's two things we know, especially that the devil do not want me going for, is this, okay? And so therefore, you know, I seen this message. But it said that you can connect, still do the direct connect by phone. But like I said, according to what Brother Manny has alerted me and my wife told me the night before last night, I do believe that it's demonic interference. I do believe that. I do believe that what it's going for, you know. Because, Brother, you were just doing a week or two ago about the blood of Jesus. Now, you know. Now, you know for sure you doing on the blood of Jesus. There is no way that devil wanted you to get that message out to nobody, okay? You that was right there. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we have to understand our divine authority in the earth and that we're not beggars, we're sons, and we're warriors, and we have to teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight, and we have to know that the demonic powers are great in the earth to try to interfere. So we had to take authority and stop acting like we are not children of God and act like we are given authority and dominion in the earth against the powers of darkness and start utilizing them and start begging and start acting like warriors and start commanding. We got to start commanding more. We got to learn the authority of commanding instead of begging. The intercessors, they intercede and plead. But they do two things. Intercessors plead before God and combat the powers of darkness. In intercessory, you do two types of prayer. Attack, you intercede to the Lord for nations, to your God, and then you go on the attack. You attack the enemy that's holding things. Yeah. See, so it's a two-prone. Yeah. It's not just one thing, interceding to God and the Holy Spirit giving you to intercede for nations, to birth nations, to deliver nations, but also you must attack the enemy. And most Christians has not been trained how to attack the powers of the enemy. They've just been taught many times just to pray And some of them will intercede to God, but many of them mostly do begging. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I know how traditionals of the human mind think, because I used to do a lot of begging. Children of God don't beg. They're not beggars. They intercede, they attract, and they stand their ground. And they decree. They intercede, attack, and decree. Until we start doing this with the authority as sons of God, we won't get much done. As we, when you go on a fast and dedication, your spirit will get into a intercession mode. Then it goes from intercession to attack, then to praise and worship. You enter into a praise and worship, hallelujah, attack and intercede. That's why the messenger, the word of the Lord, the angel said in message 88, 38, and I think 84 and 32, find worship and deliverance. Now, we have not understood that, why he, the messenger, the angel says, find worship and deliverance. Find worship and the gift. There's a revelation of truth in that, but we haven't turned the key of understanding to know what's available, and so we don't use it. So we don't, we're ignorant of something, and the messenger and the Bible comes together and says, find worship and deliverance. There's deliverance in it. If you find how to worship and spirit and truth, there's a deliverance in it. Well, well, we got our way. Well, you can continue your way. I'm going to seek the higher ground. I'm going to seek higher ground, brother. Y'all could do, I'll get it to the place now. When the enemy is doing so much, I'm getting to take that I'm not going to let, I'm just not going to let people anymore stop you becoming kingdom children and warriors and learning how to obtain victory. Satan is taking too much victory away from us. Okay, Sister Anderson, go ahead, sister, you. Whatever you choose to do or whatever you want to say, you want to call Hong Kong or you want to call Turkey, whatever you want to do is okay. You want to sing, you want to shout, you want to prophesy, you want to intercede, you just want to talk about relationships or Congress or Senate, whatever you choose on your heart to do. You can ask questions. You can tell people out there we're open to asking questions, answering questions as much as we know. Anything that God put on your heart to do.
Well, amen. I just thank and I praise God for the word. And first of all, I agree with Brother Nate. For a few nights, I did. I couldn't hear the word, but I could hear it sounded like it was a symphony playing. And tonight, the same thing happened. And I just decided, you know, I'm just going to call in because I couldn't hear anybody but some music. That's all I could hear. But I thank and I praise God, and I thank for the testimony of his son and the believe on his son that he has given us witness. And that's where we're going to get eternal life as to what we believe in. And when I first, you know, was able to call in, I did, you know, hear you talking about, you know, I didn't know what you all was talking about before because I couldn't hear you, but I did hear you talking about you know, the word of God and how we do. Now, we do. I'm not talking about the other people, but including myself. We believe in the word of God, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, and believe in the angel's message that John the Baptist is coming in this day and time and bringing a message of deliverance for us. Oh, it's a way out for us to put us on a foundation that we need, a solid foundation that we need, and the word coming forth to help us and to teach us and to, you know, it's the word that my mom used to say that you put on your boots and you pull up your bootstraps, you know, to get up out of the miry clay, and this word will make you get up out of the miry clay and go forth. And I just think and I praise God for it, because in you men bringing forth this word, it really helps me, and it helps me to learn the word. I know both of you always teaching that we need to search the scriptures, meditate upon the scriptures, pray and fast, And I know that it's an individual walk with God, and that's what we have to do. But I also want you all to know that you're a great blessing to me where this word is concerned, because it really helps me. And I thank and I praise God for it. And for anyone out there, I will just acknowledge and for people to go to the Lord. I asked someone just this week, have you honestly and sincerely gone to the Lord and asked him from your heart about this angel's message and if it is true? And they actually told me, well, not really. So if you haven't, you're letting me know. You really don't want to know the answer, because I know if you go to God with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, honestly in your heart and ask him, he will give you an answer.
Amen. Amen. The spirit of the Antichrist, we need to understand what Jesus and the apostles warned us about the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the beast, and the final Antichrist, who's going to sit in Jerusalem and going to deceive the Jews and seek to deceive the church world. Now, it's anti-gospel. Now, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are already creeping into the Christian world. And do you not know, and he came and blamed me for years, he been saying, why is it that people that claim to believe my Bible and my gospel and the law and the prophet still think that the Roman Catholic Church is Christian, that God birthed the Christian? And it's right before our eyes. He said the world will be deceived. And we have been deceived for centuries, calling the Roman Catholic Church Christian and as a God. He didn't say there are not many good people and wonderful people in there.
Yeah.
We have to be strong and audacious to say to love those people in such a way.
Amen.
And declare what the scripture says, without hate or vengeance, but to awaken. When
Amen.
I say the Islam is the false religions of Isaiah and Rabbi, I'm not saying that to hurt. I'm saying as a warning to all believers that they need our love and our prayers and intercession. When I say that Mormons have drifted in so much darkness that they're not even really aware how much darkness that they're in. And loving people are in Christian Science, and good people are in Jehovah Witnesses or Hinduism or socialism. We need to discern how the spirit of the Antichrist is working and the manner and the method that he's using to, again, seduce the church world to compromise the Christian world. And all people. This truth, the simple truth I told you about the spirit of Antichrist, how it divides, you have to know these basic truths, because many people say, oh, the Catholic Church is my brothers. Oh, the Hindu is my brother. The Jehovah's Witness is my brother. I say, yeah, well, Mormon is my brother. I say, well, if that's what you want to see, that you want to call them your spiritual brother, you can join with them and call it that if you choose to. You go right ahead. I choose not. I choose to walk in the light. Now, I want you to turn one more scripture before we get out of here, the second epistle of John. This is the second epistle of John. John was warning us to almost 1,900 years ago, and he's still warning us. In second epistle of John, the second epistle, and the first chapter. I just read the first John and the fifth chapter, but I want to see what he said in his other letter, second epistle. First chapter, it's only one chapter of second epistle. And beginning at verse 7. And this is more important, because the Church of Christ is given a strict commandment that we have not fully obeyed. I have to be honest. There is so many things the messenger, the Lord has come and spoken to us, we have not yet obeyed. This is why we fail to establish Zion and the kingdom of God. See, a lot of people don't like me, Sister Anderson, Brother Anderson, and some have a good reason, and some don't have a good reason. I'm agnostic at times, and a little off the shoot, I understand, and I can accept that. But not all the time. Not all the time. You can't say all the time. You can't use that as an excuse for rejecting everything I say. Now, it ain't going to work. Now, I'm going to let you read this scripture. You can get mad at me. You can get mad at the book or get mad at Jesus, whatever your choice is. But I know a lot of people don't like me because of my personality. Sometimes I get off. I understand that. And but I tell you one thing about me generally. I ain't going to go behind your back and stick you in the back. I'm going to tell you face to face where I stand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can love it or like it, but I'm going to be honest enough. I ain't going to get behind the back and do the stabbing in the back. If you ain't a man or woman to face me face to face, you need to consider. Mm-hmm. Beginning at the second epistle of John, beginning at verse 7, all the way to verse 11. You need to underline, you need to hear. I'm asking the Holy Spirit around the world, listen now and careful how you're going to not compromise the faith of Christ and the teachings of Jesus. Beginning at verse 7, my brother Nate.
Amen. The Word of God said, for many deceivers I enter into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sweet, nice letter John wrote in his day that applies, really applies in our generation. Many deceivers are entering into the world. Now, most people don't understand it used the term antichrist. John uses this term antichrist, referring to anti-gospel. If you were to poll the United States government or Senate or some of the nominal Christians who claim to be Christians, you would be shocked and surprised how they are off the foundation of Christ. They are far off the foundation of Christ, off the teachings of Christ, of the apostles. You would be shocked. When I go and I talk about the four major religions of the world, the five religions, not only socialism, Nazism, communism, right in the White House, our government seat is filled with doctrines of devils and demons who are going to pass laws and are passing laws in agreement with Satan, anti-gospel, anti-Christ, anti-teaching.
Yes.
We had better be aware and wake up and not be afraid to stand strong with the armor of truth good about. I don't, Sister Allison, y'all pray for me. Y'all, Brother Nate, y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me that I humble myself because I am not going to stop telling what I know to be the truth, whether you like me or don't like me.
Amen.
Now, if I make a mistake, come correct me, and I'll humble and I'll repent. If I error, you know, come to me, chasing me, and I'll humble myself. But I am not going to stop blowing the trumpet in Zion just because you don't like me or don't care where I go. You're not me, I'm not you. I'm your brother, sister around the world. You can tell me, you can correct me, you can chase me, and I have to stay in that position of being taught or being corrected. But, brother, I could care less whether you like me or sister.
Amen.
Because brotherly is just me. If I hurt your feelings, I'll repent and I'll confess. If I did you wrong, come to me and I will humble myself. But I am not going to stop declaring what thus said the Lord because it ain't your church policy.
Amen.
So you just may learn not like me, but you sure not going to have to love me before you get in that golden city. And I'm going to have to love you with the love of God. Amen. And if you ain't got enough love of you to come to me and say, oh, you did me wrong. Well, come to me, and I'll ask you firmly, come to me if I hurt you. See, that behind the back stuff that people do all around the world, call itself, you're not going to enter the city. Mm-hmm. I intend to enter the city, the golden city.
Amen.
I intend, because you despise the truth. People despise the gospel.
They're not.
Despise Jesus. Mm-hmm. Despise the Bible. All right. Sister, you got the last 2 minutes that you want to share. We pray for Sister Helen and our household and her sister, and we're standing strong with our sister Sally and those that will hope that you call her and her family and stand in agreement, and letting our heart and our faith stand with you and her family to win the battle to attack the enemy and Sister Sally's life and her family. And hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We walk in agreement and pray and stand for our dear sisters and brothers. Amen. I just thank and I praise God. And again, I have to say, I thank God for the word, because this is an individual walk, and what God has given for you to bring forth, you got to bring forth. You got to bring it forth. I know you mentioned going to that city. If you want to go to that city, you got to do what God give you to do and say what he tell you to say. And I thank and I praise God for it.
Amen. I thank God for the fellowship and the camaraderie, most of all with the saints and with people of God, just the common fellowship in Christ with my brothers. I meet many places, and with you all, the comradeness and fellowship is very important as we share and talk and unite together on this broadcast to the whole world about the coming of Christ and the coming of Elijah and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit making ready. All right, Brother Nate.
Yes, sir. I thank God for this blessed broadcast. I thank God for the opportunity to get together with brothers and sisters in Christ to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. I am humbled that God has opened this door for us to tell about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. And as I said to you earlier, brother, he is opening my eyes even the more to the place of this work and the importance of preaching and teaching the work that Christ is doing in these last days, because there are many that think that Jesus is not doing nothing. I'm telling you now. They think that he ain't doing a thing. They look and they see, and the churches are falling apart. The churches are turning from the standard, and they actually think that Jesus is doing nothing, and this is where the church come in. So we need to quit pulling out our swords and chopping one another's arms off and go up over there and chop the arm of the devil by giving this gospel, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people. So I am humbled that God have blessed me to be able to do this, okay? I'm speaking on a personal level, you know, because I see this thing and how important it is. And I have even seen of my past how that I had wasted time. But I thank God for mercy and grace that he has extended to me to get this gospel out. So I thank God for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As we close, and tomorrow night we'll be heart-to-heart, face-to-face again, Brother Nate, Brother Nate, and Anderson. And our prayer goes out to the Turkish people, as the Kurds, and because many of them are the seed of Abraham and of Jacob, and the Lord is working and will be working for those people and those nations in Syria, the Lebanon, and Guatemala. Our prayers are for you in Mexico against the evil of the cartels and the suffering, the oppression, and our brothers in China. We lift them up in Sudan and Kenya, where parts of Islam is fighting against Christianity. So let the grace and power of God, the anointing of God, be with you and our brothers who are fighting the good fight of faith. We stand with you.
Yes.
Be blessed.
Yes, Jesus.
And everyone, call upon Jesus for your salvation tonight. He is the Redeemer. The Lord saved me, a sinner. Restore my soul. Deliver me. Wash me. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Come into my life. Make me a new creation in Christ. transform me, deliver me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Thank God for this blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. And as my brother said, tune in tomorrow night as we come with another Heart to Heart tomorrow night. Praise be to God. And we are glad that the devil has been defeated. So as for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, we love you all. God bless you and God keep
love you
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen. Bless us. Amen.